y'all, this is Yaissa Lifestyle Brand. What's good? And I want to just remind you all that the year is still in effect, and this is going to be that year. This is going to be that year that you look back on and say, wow, I can't believe all that happened. And it is, it's 2020 for those that may have forgot what year we're in. In 2020, it means hindsight. So hindsight means something that's behind me. So for those that are like struggling maybe to like make ends meet, because ends don't meet because they're on opposing ends, you're going to make it, because this is 2020. It's hindsight. Maybe your vision has been changed now. Your perspective has been perfected. Now you're like, I got my priorities in order now. I see what I need to do. I need to make sure that I'm on my A game with my health. I know I need to keep my relationships intact. I know that I am going to have to do what I got to do, because no one's going to do it unless I do it. That was like a tongue twister, but you know what I meant. So accountability, that's going to be something you need to have. So how do you become accountable? One is you got to put that in stone, you know, get you an organizer, get you a vision board, get you a prayer partner, and you want to put it out there, because if it's inside, it's like it hasn't really like been planted. Now it's inside of you already, but what I mean planted is like where you put it out in the atmosphere. Now it has contact with paper. Habakkuk 2 and 2 says, write the vision and make it plain. Then you go on, it says, so that he that hath feet may run with it. So when we don't like practice what we want or practice what we preach, you know, we're like, oh, my dream is to do this. My dream. But dreams are for those that sleep. So again, you can have a dream, but it's yet not to be birthed. It's yet to be lived, because it has to be now. It has to have some feet. It has to have a face. It has to have hands to be able to touch and reach the audience that you have created it for. Whether that's your book, or maybe that's going to be your product line. If you're in beauty, cosmetics, you know, because I work in retail. So of course, I'm going to keep it on home court advantage. And I love skincare and all things beauty, but that may not be your thing. You may have an idea and you're going to like create or invent something, because God, he gives us witty inventions. And if you don't have one, you can just ask him for one. There's nothing that's too hard for God. So whatever you've been shellacking on, like you've been just like tripping on yourself, you got to just be able to step over it. You know, whatever that hurdle has been, maybe it's high. Maybe it's like it's too hard because it's like you can't see it. But you need to change your perspective again and put it on God, because his ways are higher than our ways. And when you think about this year, like what's been your most defining, I guess, experience or defining moment? Like what's that been for you? For myself, as I've said before, I may sound like a broken record, but hey, I got to say it because I just got to say it. It was like selling my house. And I remember there was a customer that came into Dillard's, and, you know, and she always came in at crucial times in my life where she was going to give me some wisdom. She was going to like say something that meant something to me, because, you know, I'm like, I'm connected to God and I know that God is flowing, and, you know, it's my time, it's my season. And, you know, she said, get out your own way. Get out of your own way. And it's something to that effect. And I thought, what? And it was as if like she was giving me a rebuke, because I was holding on to this house, you know, because it was my home, you know. But I remembered like years ago, I did a presentation for a sorority at the University of Oklahoma, and I put home versus a house. And a home is something where, you know, it could be in your heart. Home is where the heart is at. You know, that's a cliche. It's a quote, a poem. But a house is like your responsibilities, your bills, you know, your upkeep, your maintenance. But a home could be a memory of a place. It could be a smell. It can be a texture of something that you touch. And it can put you back in that place of home. So you can live in a shoebox or live in a, you know, a shack, and it can be home to you because it's not necessarily an aesthetic of a place. It's always going to be an atmosphere. And an atmosphere is something that could be inside. It's in your imagination. that you can be reminded. It could be this blanket, this quilt that you had. And even if you don't have that quilt, it's the memory of that quilt that brought you such comfort, because it was something that was made by hands that embraced you, hands that were able to help you. So when I thought about that, I said, you know what? Okay, so then shortly after, I was able to let go of that house. And did I want to do it? No. And I started looking for other places to live. And then the fear came up of, can I even afford something else? Or like, I have so much stuff, you know, like I have stuff in my attic, stuff in closets. And over the years, I have been purging, you know, like kind of like getting rid of things. But still, when you're trying to pack, it's like you have so much stuff, to the nitty gritty, to paper clips and tacks. You know, it's like details. And as I started packing, you know, I felt a little lift. The burden kind of lifted up. And it was not until the day of the move that my, you know, girl squad came, my friends came to help me. And they all reminded me that God can give it back to me and better, you know. So I ended up throwing a lot of stuff away. I mean, I gave stuff as much as I could donate to like a charity organization, and things I left on my, you know, street curb to give away. And it was just like I had this big old U-Haul, like one of the most expensive ones, and it was like not even half full, you know, after getting everything loaded up. And I realized that it was just stuff, you know, it was just things. And if anything that I had learned in retail was, when I would see beautiful things and be overwhelmed because I was on a budget when I first started working in retail, God reminded me that they are just things, you know. Even though they were pretty things, beautiful things, things that I didn't have, they were just things. And so I want to just remind you that anything that you have, like, it can be replaced, and it can also be, I guess, not just recycled, you know, but it can be like replenished to a, like something that you never had before, you know. So whenever you're in that process of letting go, you hear the thing, you know, let go, let God. That's a real place, you know. It's a perspective, it's a physical, but then it's also a mental, because a lot of times we'll let go physically, but we still holding on to all that baggage, you know, in our mindset. And then it's like you don't have no room for nothing, no new ideas, because you're cramped up, because you have all this emotional baggage of your past, or maybe what you're going through right now. So letting go is awesome, even though it is painful. Let you know. So this is that year. This is that year of letting go. Also, in addition, I have, in a, I guess, state of desperation, I end up moving in with a friend. And was that hard? Yes, because when you've been independent for so long, there's like such a freedom, or maybe like such an independence. And, you know, you got liberty. You can do what you want to do at your house. But when you're like going into someone else's space, it's humbling too that they would even do that. And it makes you think, would I do this for someone else? So this is that year that I let go of my own house. I won't say home. And I moved in with someone. And I want to say it's been the best blessing, because you don't really meet people that are people of their word, and that even that they are human, they're not perfect, but that you can see God use people to help you. And so when you're watching it, it's kind of like, oh my goodness, you know, because it's like, I'm not worthy, or maybe like, wow, I can't believe someone would do this for me. But you have to just be like, you know, this is that year that nothing has to make sense. You know, it's just, this is just that year. In addition, like, I end up going back to retail after being furloughed. So the furlough was like March 25th was the last day working in retail. And then I was out from March 25th to May the 4th. And in that time, you know, I probably planned to do so much, you know, like, I'm gonna do this, I'm gonna do that. I did work out, you know, pretty consistently. I did spend time with my family, and I did do a lot of sleeping, you know. I like not having no alarm clock and not having to be anywhere, and that includes even my fitness world, because I'm also a fitness instructor. So on a daily, I'll have to like go teach a fitness class, get showered up, get dressed, made up, and then get to work, you know. And that was my daily routine, not every day, but at least 3 days a week. So not having anything to do, I hadn't been in that position in so long. And I remember as a kid not having anything to do. I was like one of them outdoor Wonder Years kids, like stayed outside and played. We didn't have cable TV. I didn't really have access to books. I didn't know what to read. But I hadn't felt that way in a long time where I had nothing to do. Now, I have books. I didn't finish reading them. I may have started to read books. I did kind of peruse Amazon and like kind of little retail therapy, you know, and I was able to, I published a book. It was a co-author book, you know, with others, a collaboration with other authors. So that was released during the quarantine or the shelter in place. And I was able to mail out those books to people who were patrons. And so I'm grateful for that. But I didn't do as much as I thought I was going to do. So going back to outside, it was like weird because, you know, here I was getting used to being on the inside, not having a lot to do in my day. And then now I'm outside back to work. And the work world was different because people were hesitant to come out. Then you didn't know what to touch and what not to touch because, you know, we are still new to this whole coronavirus. Like, what, how is it spread? And we knew how it was spread, but just like the severity, like what, how clean does something have to be that you can touch it? And so, you know, it was an interesting experience. And, you know, and now we're still in it, but we're in November of this year. And this all started in March. And so I want to say, this is that year. This is that year that you're going to look back and say, wow. But with the time that we have left on the clock, do something with it. And it doesn't matter how big or small it is, but just do something because your future is going to thank you for it. Because we'll kind of like get that mentality, like I'll do it later. But why? Like, because when you have a job to do, you just do it, you know. But when it comes down to yourself, it's easy to like just delay. But then that delay is also affecting other people who have invested in you that are waiting to see some fruit, you know. And it's not like a demand, like where it's a negative. It's more of a positive because you are going to be amazed at what comes out of you, the things you create, the things you become. It's like that butterfly coming out of that cocoon, and it is this beautiful butterfly, and who knows what color your wings are, but that birthing process has to take place. So whatever you got to do, just do it, because this is that year. Hey y'all, it's Jaisa Lifestyle Brand. Today we are going to speak on it. And what I mean by speak on it is, do not suffer in silence. Like, don't just bottle up all your emotions. You're not a genie in a bottle. You know, you're not Christina Aguilera or I Dream of Genie, or someone's going to rub your vase and then you're going to pop out. No, like, no one may console and lick your wounds for you. But, you know, God, He is always there. I'm focusing today maybe on myself, but I've noticed that I'll see imperfections in people and it makes me want to just give up on humanity. You know, it's like, what's the point? You know, because I'll see how they may be a gossiper, or they may say they have the best interest for me, but they don't. And maybe like they just don't really have it to give it. And yet I still hold that standard up that, you know, people that I'm going to be close to or allow to get in my personal space, I have some requirements. You know, there should be some boundaries. It should be a safe space. And a lot of times when you don't feel safe, what do you do with that? You know, do you like just kind of withdraw yourself? Do you just block them, cut them off? You know, like, do you just go in an island, go on some island alone with your thoughts? Like, what do you do? And I want to say that that's probably God showing you people for who they are. Even though we want them to be, you know, these great people, people are just people. And I believe that God really wants us to focus on Him. So even if someone is like that Mother Teresa friend of yours and you're like, wow, you're going to probably catch them on a bad day. And maybe it's just not a bad day. It may be a bad season, or you may catch them off guard and you'll see something that really just grates your flesh. And I want to say your flesh is not the same thing as your spirit, because your spirit is what connects you to God. So, you know, I want you to just extend grace. Now, maybe you can, you know, maybe do your own thing and say, you know, I'm just going to get my space because I need boundaries, and I need safe spaces where I know I can trust who I'm around, because the scripture says, you know those who you labor among. And I think we don't take the time to get to know people. We see a few qualities, and maybe those qualities are rare, but it's like each person may have certain gifts that's just natural. They're a natural listener. or maybe they're just a do-gooder, they're so kind and generous, and we just write them off as, you know, they're the best, the top of the echelon. But okay, that might be a lot, because I had the wind beneath my wings. Like, I like to have the window down when I'm driving. It just so soothing about having fresh air just blow on your face and let your hair blow in the wind, like you have a personal wind machine. But anyway, yeah, you see things for what they are, and I know that that's reality. You know, even though we want to apply faith and, you know, we want to cover people in prayer, but when you see things that's not so, you know, likable, God is wanting you to focus on Him. He wants to be your everything, because people are going to fail you, not that they want to, but just because that's how they're built. That's just people, because people don't have it. Only God has it. So speak on it. Like, maybe it's not a time to talk to that person, but you might go to your dear diary. You might go to your jamming journal, where you're able to just say, you know what, this is how I feel. As I think it's important to process those feelings, but don't just let someone control you, where because they do something, you become an imitation of them. Don't do that. I'm not trying to boss you around or sass you, but I mean, like, take the high road and just know where they're at, because you probably had an off day too, a time or two, you know. And I'm like, you know what? When I see flaws in people, and maybe people that I put, like, up to, you know, a high place, like, God doesn't want them in a high place. He wants them to be on earth just like you are, walking on solid ground. And so I'm just maybe giving a confessional today, because in securing your bag, as I did change the theme of Yaisa Lifestyle Brand to kind of have a focus, because with securing your bag, it's all about how you're able to go after your goals and dreams, and not just go after them, but like to be them, you know, because we can want something, but that's not enough just to want something. You have to actually work toward that. You have to make plans, preparation to prepare yourself for it as well, because we sometimes want things, and when we get them, we're just not happy. So who hasn't said, you know, they want to be debt free, or they want to be in a like healthy relationship? They just want, you want things, but what about you? Are you prepared for what you are wanting? Because the opportunity is going to come, but are you going to be ready and healthy and healed, and even just, I guess, humble, you know, not arrogant and like about time that I got what I deserved, you know, because we are, we should be just grateful, you know, like we're not entitled to have things just because we worked for them, you know, like whether that may be a certain level of success, because you might be needed in a certain area, and God is requiring, you know, He's not requiring, He's kind of inviting you into a space that you probably would have never gone to. And that's how I think about my retail reality right now. You know, I would have not just chose to go into retail, but it's as if God was trying to show me that I need relationships, that I need communication skills, that I need time management, that I need to know value and how and where to place that value. Because, you know, because something says it's expensive doesn't mean that it's expensive. And what I mean by that, like, just because something says it's expensive doesn't mean I got to pay full price for it. And then just because something is expensive doesn't mean that it's better than something else. So a lot of us will think, you know, my lifestyle is not what I acquired or, you know, would like it to be. And so my life is not good, because you're looking at someone else's life. So we don't know how they got in that position, and we're not even sure if they're even happy, you know. So I feel like my retail reality has opened up my eyes to just like things are just material things. And so when people have Birkin bags and Gucci and Prada and Louis Vuitton, and they have, you know, maybe their face made up and painted up for the gods, you know, like, or for, you know, like, it doesn't mean that they're perfect. You know, maybe the outside is looking good, but what's going on the inside? And that's a conversation that's its own conversation, because what's going on the inside oftentimes is not the same as what's on the outside. So those people that may have those flaws that come out, maybe that's really on the inside, but they've covered it up with, you know, success. They've covered it up with, you know, being guarded, and like they only give you so much of themselves. And as you're seeing more of them, then it's like, it's kind of shocking, you know, it's kind of eye opening. And I've probably been that for someone too before, where someone had expectation or kind of thoughts of who they thought I was, and I wasn't that. And I just want to remind you that you can't just live your life in a bubble, and you can't put people in bubbles, because people are just people. They're not anything but just people. And so I want to end on that, and I want to just give you a call to action to take some time to reflect on who you are, how you're showing up, and how you're securing your bag, because your bag is not just a purse. Your bag is your self-care. Your bag is the packaging of who you are and like what's inside of that package. Because a purse, when you think about a bag has, you know, your necessities most likely in it. Like, you'll have your, you know, your lipstick, your chapstick, you'll have your eyeshadow, eye mascara, I mean, whatever that may be. But you usually have a bag for something that's holding things that's valuable. So what's in your bag? Hey y'all, it's Jaisa Lifestyle Brand, and I'm just zooming in today, and we're gonna talk about Zoom, because Zoom is how we are like going to conferences now. We're doing workshops and taking workshops, and we're just doing everything from school and beyond. And so with Zoom, it can make some people feel some kind of way. I know today I just taught a class, and even though it's a class based on writing and comprehension and critical thinking, it's like, ain't nobody got time to be looking crazy, you know? So I want to help you with your confidence for Zoom. And with Zoom, keep in mind that you have your image, which is your, you know, you, or you can have like some kind of image stand-in for you, like your picture, like a profile picture and stuff like that. But how to be more confident with Zoom. For one, when you're there, it's about what you have to say. And even though people may be looking at your image, you know, you might want to wear something that you feel not just only comfortable in, but something that you're feeling confident in. That's a real big situation. Some colors like really make you shine. Like, so keep that in mind. That's a tip. I would also recommend, you know, having your hair did, because just having your hair did, even if it's like for guys having, you know, a haircut, for ladies, you know, styling your hair or maybe getting it done, getting your hair did, that can make a really big difference. I know when my hair is, you know, like hair is like 90% of your selfie, you know. And so you want to make sure that that is looking good. But above and beyond that is just you, your whole self. Even though you're only going to be showing mainly your face and like maybe your upper chest and up, keep in mind that they're there for you. Like if you're there for a conference, you're there for the information. And yeah, it's easier said than done, because of course, you can get a little self-conscious, you know, because it's like, ooh, a camera, like, does it put 10 pounds on you? I'm not sure if that's a myth or not, but I'm curious to hear what you have to say. But at the same time, you're there to get the information, and you're there to share information. So I'm right now, I'm talking to those people that not only participate in lives, or you're participating, but the ones that are like, you have something to share, and you haven't been sharing it because you've been self-conscious. Me, I'm just getting the lingo of Zoom, but for like lives on Instagram, I'm new to that neighborhood in those social media streets. But Facebook Live, I've been there, and each time I get on, I get butterflies in my stomach. I'm not gonna even lie, because I'm like, oh my gosh, like, you know, I try to find me a little filter, and it's not to cover up or like to like hide myself. It's just for fun, you know. Like I feel like I don't have to. There's not just one way to do a live, and so. It doesn't mean that I'm not authentic, but like you have to find what works for you. And so I want you to just think about these three tips, even though I'm giving you like an earful right now, is that one, you have to be you. When you're being yourself, when you're online, then it's like, okay, it's like, what? How can you mess up being you? And so you don't have to be scripted. Now, when you're being you, maybe when you're on, think about what you're talking about. So you don't want to, I mean, even if you're being you, if you're confident being you, but you're just on there, you don't really have like a angle or a focus, that can kind of like go left. So you want to know like what you're going to talk about and like what you're going to represent when you're on that live. That's like going to ensure your success. And then two, you want to think about your audience. like your audience. You're not for everybody, and that's okay. I think most times people, like, they want acceptance so much that they're like willing to sacrifice themselves just for everyone, to everyone. You know, you may have like 30 people who just love you, but for those 5 people that don't, it's like you're just willing to just throw in the towel. So I want you to think about, you're not for everyone. So when you're going on live, you're on Zoom, or now I kind of made it more general now because everyone's not on Zoom. But if you're on live, remember you have an audience, and just think about your audience being one person. So, and having that one person as your audience, this takes some time. So you want to have like an avatar. You want to think like, who is your ideal, not just your ideal audience, but who's your ideal client? Because a client is someone that's going to be an ongoing relationship, versus a customer could be a one-time transaction. And an audience, they just want to be entertained, you know. So we want to think about your ideal client. Like, who's your person that's like your dream client? Like, what's their lifestyle? What are their issues? What their problems are? Who are they dating? Are they in a relationship? Are they married? Are they with children or not? Are they a jet setter? You know, what are their problems? Like, what things do they need? And like, how are you going to advocate, or how are you going to be that person that delivers the goods? Okay, so you want to have confidence and be yourself. Then you want to think about who your audience is. And then finally, you want to be consistent. That's how you get better. You know, it isn't, practice doesn't make perfect, but practice makes better. You know, you can always get better. So if you never try, then how will you know? Some people are maybe natural. I don't know. But I know it's nothing like that adrenaline when you're getting on live and you press the button. It's like the point of no return. And you're like, oh my gosh, I pressed the button. What am I going to say? And you got to just flow with it. Go with the flow, because you are prepared, and there's nobody that's like you. No one could beat you being you. And then whoever your audience is, they're waiting for you. Like, they want to know what you have to say, even if they never even heard of you before. So keep that in mind for your Zoom, for your live videos on any platform, Facebook, Instagram, Snapchat. Have fun.